Chris, I have something I want to share with you. I won't take a long time tonight. I know a lot of you've got a lot of things going on tomorrow, and a lot of goodies you're preparing, and probably company and family and so on and so forth. But I want to respect your time. But I believe that when we honor God, God honors us. And I'm so grateful that you're here tonight to give thanks before the day of Thanksgiving. Amen. And I'm just going to have all the children stay. I won't be long tonight. I can be short when I want to. Praise the Lord. But you know, I just want the children to be in here tonight, because in just a few moments, we just want to pray for everybody. We want to pray for your children, you know. How many know your children have a destiny too? And God loves all of us, and He loves our children. And sometimes we have to just refocus on the things that God is doing and God has done, instead of more focus on the things that He hasn't done or we don't see done yet. But how many know if God said it, He will certainly do it? Amen. How many children do we have in here tonight? Come on, let me hear all the children say praise the Lord. Come on, let me hear all the children. Let me hear all the children. Where's all the children? Say Jesus. Come on, all the children. Okay, you're not mad at me, are you? All right, you're not mad at Jesus, are you? All right, we're gonna learn a few things tonight. How many youth we got in here? Well, let me hear the youth. Okay. I know y'all don't get to sit in here much on Wednesday night, but I think you'll enjoy this. I got a couple of turkey jokes for you. Now this is just for all, you know. I just want. I don't know, maybe 16 and under to answer these things, because they're very simple. I don't want to spoil the children. How many children we have in here? Oh, okay. How many children we have in here? Okay. Why did they let the turkey join the band? Because he had drumsticks. Y'all didn't do too good on that one. Which side of the turkey has the most feathers? The outside. He got it. Hey. What kind of music do the pilgrims like to play? Come on, Plymouth Rock. What do you get when you cross a turkey with an octopus? Enough drumsticks for the whole family. Which can jump higher, a turkey or the Empire State Building? A turkey, because the Empire State Building can't jump. Praise the Lord. Are y'all loose? Loose as a goose or loose as a turkey? Praise the Lord. God, say God is good. And His mercy endureth. Turn with me in your Bibles to Psalms 106, where it states that. Let me just share with you just briefly tonight. We'll incorporate this all with our offering and just a little message I have for you for Thanksgiving. Psalms 106 says, praise the Lord. Everybody say praise the Lord. It says, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for the Lord, He is good, and His mercy endures forever. Who can utter the mighty acts of the Lord? Who can declare all His praise? Now look at that. Who can declare? First of all, it says, who can utter the mighty acts of the Lord? Now, can anybody do that? Can anybody praise God? Well, you know, stop and think about that. I guess anybody could praise the Lord, but look what He's asking here. Look what He's asking. He says, who can utter the mighty acts of the Lord? Who can declare all His praise? Now, we would think that anybody could do that, but really, the only people that can do that are the people that know Him. Stop and think about it. That's what he's asking. Who can declare the mighty and the great works of God but those who have that relationship with him? Those that have been born and Jesus has revealed to them how great he is. Where would we be tonight if it were not for the grace of God? You know, people go to churches all the time. They go to religious places, but they can't praise God because they don't have a revelation and that relationship with God. And so the question is, who can praise God? Who can declare the works of God? Well, only those that know him intimately. Because the more you know him, the more praise you have of him. The more that you have praise of him, the more that you're filled with thanksgiving. The more you realize that you would be that turkey on the table if it were not for the grace of God. Amen. And so we have to realize and see that, because the mighty works of God are real to us. Oh, they're so real to us. And we you know, this time of year and coming up on the Christmas season, the devil likes to do his number to really take people out of praise. Take people out of being free. I thank God y'all are free tonight. Amen. The devil likes to oppress and depress and get people feeling this time of year very, very down. Isn't it amazing? It's supposed to be a joyful time, a time of rejoicing, a time that we're supposed to be happy, but yet there's a lot of people that can't rejoice in the Lord and really give God thanks because they're focused on the wrong things. And the devil really, really loves to do that. He loves to get us focused on the things that have not panned out in our life, or things that didn't turn out like we thought they ought to turn out. And when we're focused on those things, we start becoming unthankful. Now, I'm thankful. I'm really thankful. I thought about this today. I'm thankful that we live in a nation that celebrates a day of thanksgiving to God. One of the few nations in the world that actually has a day to give thanks to God. Thank God the devil and the politicians have not taken that away from this country. But you know, it's a miracle. Really, it's really a miracle to still have a day where they can't get around this. That it's really a day instituted by, you know, our former presidents and the former founders and the fathers of this country to set aside a day in November to give God thanks for all he's done. In the day of which so much of God is taken out of our nation, taken out of our schools, taken out of our prayers, trying to take it off of our face of our money and so on and so forth. I mean, there is really some anti-Christ and ungodliness that tries to rear up its head even in this day which we live. But thank God, God is greater, amen? And God had a plan from the beginning. So just the fact that we have a national holiday to give thanks to God, that's a miracle, people. And we need to thank God for that. We need to thank God that he's given us a platform, because you and I, listen, as Christians, we don't need just one day. We celebrate and we give God thanks every day. We get up in the morning thanking God for a fresh and a brand new day. You know, we go to sleep at night. The last thing I do is say, thank you, Lord, made it through another day. I get through preaching a sermon. I get home, I say, thank you, Lord, you give me another one. I hope I can do it again. You know, I'm just saying, I want to be thankful. Because when you're not thankful, it starts to cloud your mind and cloud your spirit. And when you become unthankful and ungrateful, oh man, you open the doorway up to all kinds of oppressing and demonic and just things that bring depression and loneliness and all that yucky stuff feeling that we get when we become ungrateful and unthankful. In fact, we'll find out if we get that far tonight in this message that God turns us over to a debased mind or reprobate mind, a mind that can't think like it ought to think. It thinks unnatural. And how many know when you get away from worshiping and thanking God, then you start doing some unnatural things. Not just ungodly things, but unnatural things. Amen. Now turn over with me, if you will, to the book of Malachi. Not really seeing the goodness of God and seeing only the things that God does not work out in our lives will cause us to be unthankful. God has called us to be a thankful people. Amen. Now we know, you know, we use Malachi here tonight, and I know we haven't received the tithe and offering yet, but we use it a lot for the tithing offering because Malachi 3, and that's where I want you to look at tonight, you know, it talks about, of course, those who rob God and keeping the windows of heaven open and so forth. But I want you to notice here in Malachi chapter 3, because you are somebody who owes the mighty works of God. You are somebody that can declare the mighty works of God. That's why you can come into a place like this on Wednesday night and you're not ashamed of Jesus. You can clap your hands. You can lift your hands. You can just get a little bit loose and you can just praise God. Amen. Because you're declaring what God has done and you're giving Him praise and you're giving Him thanksgiving. Well, now here's the situation. I want to see this because He's talking to covenant people here and people that really have gotten away from being thankful. You know, when you're focused again on your disappointments, when you're focused on the things that just didn't, you know, they just didn't come about like you thought they'd come about, and you can become disappointed. I'm sure these people here that in the time of Malachi, and God had to address them, and again, not just assure them, but to come and let them know that He is God, that He changes not. And that they had got away from God. And I know sometimes I look on the rolls throughout the years, that, you know, we keep records and people that have been here and so on and so forth. Now, I know a lot of people, you know, they get up and, you know, for some reason, maybe they go to another church or maybe they move off somewhere and they stay at least a Christian. But, you know, there's a lot of them. And every once in a while, I just kind of, you know, some of them come to my mind. There's a lot of them that got away that don't even serve God anymore. I said, don't even serve God anymore. I mean, no, it's a dangerous place to be when you allow the disappointments and you give up on God. When you give up on God, it's because you started being ungrateful in your mindset. Now, this is what is addressed here. Now, let's look at this, okay, right quick, because he's talking to covenant people that have really stirred away from God. In Malachi chapter 3, let's start at verse 13. He says what? He says, your words have been harsh against me. See, this is talking about those that, for whatever reason, everybody has their reasons. You have your reasons for staying with God. But how many know that people have their reasons for leaving God? Those are not valid reasons. I said they're not valid. There is no valid reason to get away from God. So that's what he's, the theme here, what he's addressing and what he's talking about. He says, your words have been harsh against me, says the Lord. Yet you say, what have we spoken against you? Now, a lot of people, you know, they're not bad by nature or they don't just go out and do evil and bad things. But how many know we can be bad just by what we speak against God? He said, you have said, now look at this, it is useless to serve God. What are they saying? They're saying, well, look, I started out and I was doing this. I was coming to church and I was bringing my tithe and I was giving my offering and I was doing this and doing that. But look what happened to me. Well, look what happened to you. Sometimes things happen. I said, sometimes we fall in the ditch. But you know what? We don't have to stay in the ditch. Sometimes we get disappointed because what we think is going to happen, and that picture that we paint in our mind of something great, and I believe God has something great for all of us. But a lot of times we get hung up on the way. What we got to remember that the end is going to be right if we stay with God. God doesn't show us all the time the things that are in between. And sometimes the in-between can cause us to stumble and say these things against God, like, oh, it's useless to come to God. I used to come to church 2 times a week. I used to come to pray. I used to do these things, but I don't do it anymore. Why? Well, because you got disappointed. Because something didn't pan out. Something, you know, happened, and first thing you know, you're not thankful and you're not grateful, and so you slip away from God. Are you with me now? Okay. So, he says, what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance and that we have walked as mourners before the Lord of hosts? So now we call the proud blessed, and those who do wickedness are raised up. They even tempt God and go free. Then those who fear, basically what he's saying, it looks like people that don't really make the sacrifice and make the dedication and make the commitment to stay with God. Sometimes it looks like they're prospering more. Sometimes it looks like they're getting ahead more. Sometimes it looks like they got more material things than we got. And so we have to be very, very, very careful when our mind is focused on what other people have, and we get to thinking that those people got that because they got it on their own and they got it without serving God. I mean, you can get things without serving God. Are you with me? But look what it says. Verse 16. But those who what? Fear the Lord. How many of you have a fear of God? Amen. Oh, I tell you, the fear of the Lord. Now, you know we've taught on this. And you know how important it is. That's why it's important to keep praise. That's why it's important that you be thankful in your heart to God. Amen. The fear of the Lord, and spoke to one another. This speaking to one another here is encouraging one another. You know, seeing somebody in need and being there to encourage them, because what we need, people of God and young people, is that when we are falling and going astray, we need somebody to reach out and help us. Because we get to that point where we've been disappointed in God, so we need a brother, we need a sister, we need somebody that'll reach out to us and bring a word of encouragement and get us back on the track. He says, who spoke to one another, and what? The Lord listened and heard them. And what he's talking about here is speaking good things. How many of you speak good things about God? But not just to God, but to one another. Amen. It's important that we tell the people that we love. It's important that we tell the people that we want to make a difference in their life. Tell them about the goodness of God. It's one thing to tell God how good you are, and God how great you are, and the Lord is good, and His mercy endureth forever. But it's another thing to tell one another. Amen. When we tell one another, that's when we know the fear of the Lord is working in our life. And when the fear of the Lord is working in our life, we're going to speak to one another, and the Lord is going to hear. He's going to listen when we talk to others about Him. I said, the Lord heard what they said. Now look, so a book of remembrance was written before Him for those who what? Fear the Lord. There's a book being written. It's in heaven right now, and it's being penned by Almighty God. And every time you talk to somebody about how good God is, every time you speak out the goodness and the grace and the mercy of God and how wonderful your God is and how great it is to serve God, God is listening to that. God is keeping a score, if you will, of these things. He says, those who fear the Lord and who meditates on His name. You know what meditation means? It means to really think about God. Think about what you say before you say it. It says, they shall be mine. Now look at this, verse 17. Says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I will make them my jewels. In other words, God treasures you when you talk to one another about Him. Remember, keep in mind, being thankful to God is not just talking to God, But letting people know that don't know God, letting people know that are in some kind of a situation or circumstance, that your God is a good God. If they will focus on God, God can get them out of any crisis. God can get them out of any situation. It says, I will spare them as a man. Look at the language here. As a man spares his own son who serves him. What father would not try to save his own son's life if his own son was in desperate need, especially if that son loved his father? And the Lord is saying, I will do likewise. Those that love me, he said, I will spare you, just as a father would spare his own son. It says, and you shall again discern between the righteous and the wicked, between the one who serves God and the one who does not serve God. Now you might say, what does all this have to do about with Thanksgiving? Well, again, let me remind you, we have lots of examples, especially in the Word of God, about people. I think, you know, one that comes to mind is Joseph. Joseph, I'm talking about in the Old Testament. A 17-year-old young teenager who had a dream from God one night. And remember that dream, he saw him in a place where his family was bowing down. And the interpretation of that dream, that in the end, he was going to be able to save his family from starvation and from drought. Are you with me? He told that dream to his brothers. He told that dream to those brothers he had, and they what became jealous. And because they became jealous at him, what did they do? They bound him up and threw him in that pit. And he got sold into slavery. But God knew where he was. God knew exactly, and Joseph was able to overcome. I mean, no, it's a little discouraging if you got thrown in a pit by your own family. And then he got sold into slavery. And from slavery, he got sold into Potiphar's house. And there, because of the favor of God upon his life, he became head of the household over Potiphar's household. But then the wife, because of the attraction that she had for Joseph, made a push for him, and he refused to fall into that sin and temptation, and she accused him falsely, and then he got thrown into prison. How many know that might disappoint you? I'm saying life can bring disappointments, but the way that Joseph overcame the disappointments is that he was always focused on God. He was focused on the goodness of God. He saw what God showed him in that dream, and he would not turn loose of that, no matter what happened in between the start and the finish line. Because a lot of times we start real good, you know, but then we get tripped up by the devil, because that's his job. Especially this time of year, when he wants to bring so much disappointment and let people focus on those heartaches and those tragedies that they have, and they become unthankful to God. And so the devil uses that to take you further and further and further away out of the flow of God's grace. There was a lot of room there for disappointment, wasn't there? Now, again, here's Thanksgiving. Let me tell you about this just a moment as I just kind of wrap this up. I want you to know that Thanksgiving, talking about Thanksgiving to God, overcomes disappointments. Amen. I would, if I was betting, I would wager that very few in here has not had at least one disappointment. Would I be wrong? Would I be wrong to say that you've never been disappointed in life? And a lot of times we have valid reasons. You go back to the foundation of this country. Can I give you just a history lesson a minute about Thanksgiving? Some of you may not even know this story. Some of you foreigners. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you why we serve a mighty God, and that our God has a divine plan. And everything was in the destiny of God to be where we are today. I'm talking about this great country of America, the land of the free, the home of the brave. in the early 1600s, let me see if I can get this right, around, to be exact, 1605. Now, that's a long time ago. There was a group of explorers who came to the New World, who came to America from England, with the intent to find out if they could prosper and make and maintain great wealth and riches from this land. And when they came, they actually kidnapped, or they took hostage, five Indians, five Native American Indians. And they took them back to England. And they took them back to England with the intent to teach them English and to, if you will, culturize them from what they were as an American Indian to what the society of England had to offer, so that they could get them in a place where they would trust them and they could use them to come back over here to the New World and show them where the best places to exploit, to explore, and to gain and to create wealth. I mean, that was their motive. Now, of course, a little bit later, you had in 1607, another colony called the Virginia Colony, or the Colony of Jamestown. You've all been familiar with that. Well, it was the first colony. But this first group of settlers, these first group of early settlers, were really coming over here to this new country to find the riches, to find the gold, to find the silver, to find wealth, okay? But they were not able to succeed. But one of these five Indians is very interesting, because God was using this Indian by the name of Squanto. Everybody ever heard of Squanto? Now, you children ought to get this in your history lesson. I don't know if they teach it or not. But Squanto was one of those five Indians that they had originally taken. And they kept him over there for 9 years in England. All this time he's learning English. He's learning the culture of England. And they bring him over here with the intent to find the best places to exploit this new world. Well, he finally made it back. They got back into the East Coast. And Squanto went to look for his family. But before he could find his tribe, before he could go back and be reunited with his family, this is after 9 years, they kidnapped him again. Another group of Spaniards kidnapped him and took him back to Spain. Now, you think there might have been some room for disappointment? I mean, after all, you've been kidnapped for 9 years, and you're just about to get back and be reunited with your family, and you get kidnapped again. This time it's by another language, by the Spaniards. But the difference this time is that these Spaniards, there was a group of friars, or I guess what you would call them, Christian, like monks and had monastery and so on and so forth. And they were able to have Squanto come into that group, and they taught him, listen, because he knew English, they taught him Christianity. They taught him what it meant to be saved. They taught him New Testament. Are you following what I'm saying? God has a divine plan. See, about the time we begin to see God's plan, the devil always comes to bring disappointment. So here's Squanto. He's learning all about the Bible. He's learning about Christianity. He gets saved. And history tells us that he was a strong believer. I mean, he really got full of the Holy Ghost and touched by God. And eventually he went back and made his way back to England. And he got on one of the boats that John Smith was captain of, and came back and finally got back after 14 years. Now listen, 14 years he was making his way back to the East Coast, back to this new world called America. And He gets off of the boat and he begins to head towards his tribe and towards where he was grown and raised and all his family and his relatives and mother and father. And he gets back there this time and he finds out that the whole tribe has been wiped out by a plague and everybody in his tribe was killed. Killed by the plague. And I don't know, history again tells us some almost 100,000 of Indians were caught up and died by this plague. Now, let me ask you something. You think that might make some disappointment in your life? You're just about to get back after 14 years. And you're just about to have a reunion and a homecoming. And you walk where your tribe used to be. And they tell you, it's not here anymore. It's wiped out. They all died. Well, some other clan of Indians, you know, took Squanto in. And he became part of that tribe. And so they welcome him. But in the meantime, now listen. The first bunch of settlers, remember what they were for? They were here just to get rich. They were here just to exploit. That's all. But then there was another group, or a second group of settlers that were called separatists. You know what separatists were? Separatists meant that they wanted to separate themselves from the world or separate them from organized religion and be able to establish religion or Christianity based on the Bible and have the freedom to do so. And so they went to King James, the king of the British Commonwealth, and received permission to come to the New World in order to pursue, now listen to this, to pursue freedom of religion. All this is recorded. You won't hear this from politicians. You won't hear this probably in a lot of government schools, but all this is on record, okay? And so you have this group called separatists who were on the ship called the Mayflower. How many of you have heard the Mayflower? President Bush yesterday pardoned the turkeys, right? And the two turkeys' names were what? May and Flower. So, to make a long story short, are you with me so far? Now this first group, now listen, this first group, this get-rich-quick group. Here's how stupid they were. They sent 101 men on the ship and four boys to start a colony. This is back, you know, in the early, and nothing got done. And finally, somebody wised up, and they asked them to send them some women. I mean, this is not a joke. And they sent 90 women over, and, you know, they begin to make acquaintances, and they married, and they have children, and so we've got traffic jams today. But they struggled and struggled and struggled until the women got there. I mean, they just didn't think. But this other bunch, they're coming now. This William Bradford bunch is coming in the Mayflower, and they're coming to the Virginia colony so that they can come and help populate and establish that colony that's already kind of got a root there, but it just wasn't getting off the ground. But the winds begin to blow, and, you know, the storms came. That was like in a September, and I don't know if it had been a hurricane or what, but it blew them way off course, and they finally landed way up in the Cape Cod or the Northeast or what we would call Massachusetts or what is called, what, Plymouth Rock. Am I okay, you history major, you? Are you with me? What are we talking about? We're talking about all of a sudden, here comes this group of settlers. They've been blown off course. They land in a wilderness area in the wintertime. And just the harsh winter itself killed lots of people. They were struggling. And all of a sudden, here comes this Indian Squanto who's already here. And he begins to talk to them, and they discover he knows English better than they know it. and they're from England. Are you with me? But while they were out there on that ship, they wrote what is called the Mayflower Compact. Y'all are lying your head like you know these things. And that's one of our first government documents. I mean, if I had time, I'd read all this stuff to you, but listen to me. That document stated the fact, and it was a legal document, that the reason and the purpose that they came to the new country was to establish a place where they could be free to serve God. They could establish their township and they could establish their colony on the freedom of religion independent of the Church of England. Are you with me? But all these things begin to happen and these disappointments. And the winter, and they got here and there was no city. There was no McDonald's. There was no restrooms. There was nothing. But here comes this Indian Squanto. Are you with me? And he begins to show them how to hunt. Now, he was very turned on to God. And he found out they were turned on to God. So you can imagine the quick bond and the relationship. In fact, William Bradford mentors, that's how come we know about these Indians. And that's how come we know about this story. And again, here it was. A very, very harsh winter. And he teaches them how to hunt. He teaches them how to plant corn. Oh, y'all ought to be glad for tortillas. I mean, thankful for Squanto. Teaching, you know, how to grow the maize and the corn and to hunt and to be able to plant and through the seasons what to plant and so on and so forth. He got all that, you know, because the Indians had been here and because he could speak English. And normally when a missionary is going into a foreign country, they have to find an interpreter. But here you had no interpreter. So they had to come and find somebody that was already here that could interpret the Indian to the English. Are you with me? But I'm trying to get you to see something. It was no accident. And all the disappointments that Squanto had, think about it, 14 years held in captivity in a strange place against his will, comes back, finds his whole tribe annihilated, wiped out, all of his relatives gone. After 14 years, and this is about now by 1620, 1621, and he walks up on this Mayflower bunch, but because he's turned on to God, he didn't let disappointment stop his destiny. Amen. I don't know where we'd be, but the records state that he brought them to a place where they could survive. He taught them how to survive the harsh winters and how to sustain themselves on the crops that they could grow. And that first winter was a struggle. And then came, listen, I'm almost through, but listen, here came the spring and they didn't get any rains. And all the crops were drying up and all the corn and everything was just shriveling up. And so they called a humble fast, and they began to pray for 9 days, Squanto and Potlatch, his other companion. And they began to cry out to God, and William Bradford and the leaders of the colony, they set aside those 9 days to pray and fast. Imagine praying and fasting for 9 days. And on the 9th day, it began to rain, and it rained for 9 days straight. And it revived the crops just good enough where they would produce and provide enough for the colony. But the Indians were looking at this and they were like, wow, you serve a God that can make it rain. And so they got interested in that and they all came and said, we want to have a celebration. And of course, they're Christians. And they said, okay, we're going to have a celebration. The only problem was they didn't know they wanted to eat. So the food that they had just barely enough, here comes about 100 more Indians to celebrate and eat with them. And they liked it so much, they decided to stay another day. And then another day. And so all their provision, everything that they had, you know, prayed for, the rain finally came through. What happened? It was eat up by the celebration. But the Indians knew what they were doing. They went away for a day and they came back with the deer and the game and more corn. And they were able to bring them provision that lasted them all through that first winter. And they gave thanks and it became the first Thanksgiving. Did y'all know that? I mean, it was a divine plan by God. Somebody could have got disappointed and discouraged, just like Joseph could have. I mean, if Joseph would have got discouraged, he would have missed the divine plan that God had, and his family would not have been saved. Maybe we wouldn't have all that we have in this great nation had not somebody persevered, had not Squanto come across and was able to teach them how to reap from the land in which they had sown. Are you with me, church? So we've got to come to a place tonight where that our mind is a powerful thing. It's a powerful, unique part of us that God has given us the ability to form those images on the inside of us. Unfortunately, well, I don't want to say unfortunately. Those pictures will paint the intents of our hearts. And the more we delight ourselves in the Lord, the more vivid those images become. But a lot of times, because of our own lust, I don't mean it in a bad way or a negative way, we see things a little different than the way God sees them. We interpret the picture a little bit different than the way God interprets the picture. And because of that, and it doesn't just pan out like we thought it would, is where we open the door for the discouragement. And if we don't know how to trust God and continue through the hard times and through the disappointment times and the discouraged times, then we'll never reach our destiny. Thanksgiving to God causes you and I to reach our destiny. Being thankful to God, whether it be in good times or whether it be in times that are not good, but pressing on and being there to encourage somebody when you're up that may be down and vice versa. Are you with me, church? And so I gave you that tonight to show you, and that's the word and the message for this Thanksgiving, is that we all have a destiny. And that destiny is designed by God to finish with greatness. Because our God is a good God. And God does great things for our life. Are you with me tonight? And so I just wanted to share those things with you, because there's no reason to be discouraged when we see how good God is. There's no reason to allow what we see to take us off of track of what we know and what God will do to those that are thankful. Amen. Amen. Is that all right? Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.